Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of Interview Thursday here on the Big Red Express. My guest this week actually stopped by CrossFit Krypton on Monday, and last weekend he was in Virginia Beach for a wedding, decided to stop by and do Memorial Day Murph. But after he did Memorial Day Murph, he spent a few moments with us here on the podcast, and we were able to talk about his journey, kind of how he started CrossFit, how he's doing since his injury, and how it was like to be in the same heat going neck to neck against Ben Smith in that deadlift event last year at Regionals. We talk about all that and much, much more. But first, got to get down to some business before we jump right into that. Guys, go check us out on Facebook. Go check us out on Instagram, big_red_express. Shoot us a follow, and maybe we'll shoot you a follow back as well. If you haven't done so already, if you have an iPhone or an Apple device, go subscribe to us on iTunes. It's free for you. Just got to type in the Big Red Express, and you get every single episode, all these interviews, all the content that we put out there on a weekly basis. You get it for free due to our great sponsors that we have on this podcast. And if you guys want to know more about those, go check them out in our archives. We do some great specials with them as well. But guys, go check us out on Facebook. Just type in the Big Red Express, and you'll find us. Just click like, and we love to get your feedback, guys. Thanks so much. All right, enough of me plugging myself. Here is my sit-down conversation with Chandler Smith. Enjoy.
You guys know my name is Robbie. I got a podcast. It's called The Big Red Express, coming up in just a moment. In 3, 2, 1, go!
Hey guys, Robbie here from The Big Red Express. Welcome back. We are here post Memorial Day Murph with Chandler Smith. Chandler, how's it going? How are things going?
What's up? I'm doing well. I'm lucky to be out here. Got to come back for one of my my Army wrestling buddies' weddings out here in Virginia Beach, and obviously that gave me an excuse to come and work out at the fittest gym, probably in America, so happy to be out here.
Being in the Army, what does Memorial Day Murph mean to you personally? Being in the armed forces and things like that.
Honestly, it's like, so even though Murph specifically was a Navy guy and everything, it's like the whole day is, you know, a memorial for all those who've come before you and lost their lives in service. So it helps you kind of keep perspective on, you know, how lucky I am to be in a time where being in the Army doesn't necessarily mean like getting put in a super dangerous, you know, high casualty rate combat zone immediately. Like I've been able to, because of what folks who've come before me have done,
right,
I'm able to, you know, serve in an army that I guess is still, you know, the dominant force in the world. And like everything that has brought me to this point, like my life specifically right now is awesome. So
for sure,
everybody who died before me helped bring me to this exact point. So it just helps me be super grateful and remember kind of like why I'm doing what I'm doing a little bit too.
Talk to us about how you kind of got into CrossFit. I mean, obviously this is probably a little bittersweet time for you. Obviously not, you know, the whole thing that happened before the open season and things like that. How did you get into CrossFit? Last year, you kind of sprung on the scene during regionals, became really a crowd favorite among everyone in the CrossFit community. Talk to us about how you got to CrossFit, how you were introduced to it, and kind of how you found yourself getting competitive in CrossFit.
Okay, yeah, too easy. So it started, and it's kind of funny that we're talking about this on Memorial Day, as it was. So I started, I saw a video like Spencer Hendel, like way back in 2010 doing something for like sectionals or something. I was like, oh, this stuff's good. Like looked it up a little bit, saw that a bunch of guys in the armed force were doing it. I knew I wasn't into West Point yet, but I knew that's where I wanted to go. So
right,
started integrating it into my training, and like getting kind of serious about it. I lucked out, was very fortunate to meet a guy by the name of Ronnie Oswald. And as I was training up to get ready to go to cadet basic training in the summer of 2011, Ronnie was building his gym, Sky's Limit CrossFit, and he was like, hey man, you helped me build this gym, you can come work out for free. And
yeah,
honestly, he didn't need to say anything else just except for free. So
right,
came in, helped him build Sky's Limit CrossFit out in Kansas City, and then I like used that to train up for Beast, cadet basic training, did really well there, and I made the wrestling team. I walked on, which was like kind of surprising to
yeah,
me, but so that kind of kept me away from like going full time, but I was a huge CrossFit fan. I was already hooked into to watching everything, watching Ben and watching all the, like, you know, the Dan Baileys, all those
yeah,
OG
right,
names. So I was, it was my favorite sport all through college, and like I made sure to read like a ton of material to like prepare, because I knew whenever wrestling was over, I wasn't a good enough wrestler to like, you know, try to make a run at the
right,
Olympics or anything.
Yeah.
I was like, I think CrossFit is something I can do and do well. I have way more fun doing it than wrestling. This is like what I'm going to do. So I've been, before I'd been like figuring out my training plans and like how
right,
I was going to be when I could finally attack the sport. And then last year was the first season that I really got to pursue it, and then it went better than expected as well. So,
talking to Chandler Smith. Chandler, talk to us about your wrestling background. How does kind of you've been wrestling for a long time. How does that kind of translate to the CrossFit, to the competition floor? Because, you know, wrestling's a lot of kind of high intensity for a little amount of time, sort of what CrossFit is, mm-hmm. but the training is almost completely different. You almost go balls to the wall all the time, every day.
Yeah.
How did it, you know, kind of translate from, you know, going from wrestling full-time mm-hmm. to becoming a CrossFit athlete full-time?
I'd say actually the transition was easier than anticipated, just because they require a lot of things that are required in wrestling to make you a successful wrestler, or things that are required to make you a successful CrossFit athlete as well. So when I began wrestling my freshman year of high school, I had my head coach was an ex-Army wrestler, and like the mentality that he helped instill in me as far as just like coming in every day, being ready to work, that's something that's carried on into my CrossFit career, especially throughout the 4 years of wrestling in high school, kind of like realized, you know, the amount of work you need to. So then I kind of learned volume. Then I get to college, and you put that together with like outside factors and integrating different methods of training. So I did a lot more aerobic stuff in college to help keep the weight down. And then like, so learning how to train across broad time and modal domains,
right, yeah.
during college. And you put all that together, and like, at least last year, like I felt like when it came time for CrossFit, even though I hadn't been doing a ton of CrossFit, by the nature of my training during wrestling, like learning how the mentality of being an athlete and coming in and working every day, how to handle a lot of volume and how to handle volume across different modalities, like had been preparing me for CrossFit inadvertently the whole time.
Well, when you kind of looked at it, you said that, you know, last year was the first time that you really were able to put it full time and make it kind of, you know, put your efforts toward that. Mm-hmm. You talk about, you know, the Dan Baileys, the Ben Smiths. Is there, you know, what other people did you really watch and look up to as you were going through? I mean, this is a sport it's a very, very new sport. A lot of people, you know, in baseball, they look up to, you know, Mickey Mantle and, you know, guys yeah. that was way back in the sport. But you're looking up to people that are your age, kind of around your age. Talk to us about, you know, your biggest influences in the sport and okay. kind of who you looked up to most of all. As you became more and more serious about CrossFit.
Okay. So obviously, I guess you start with the athletes. So there's athletes and coaches, athlete specific, Spencer Hindle, first athlete okay. I ever saw, got me introduced.
Yeah.
And I got to work out against his team at Wodapalooza, and it was super cool to me. Like there's a picture of, I just saw like a couple weeks ago of me like running on the treadmill and he's in the front. And I'm like, holy cow, man, I'm working out with, I got to work out with Spencer Hindle. I sent right. him the most ridiculous fanboy message like way back in the day in 2010, still on my Facebook. And I was like, I went back and looked at that. I was like, went from there, 7 years later, I'm competing against him. Like, how cool
right.
is that? So Spencer Hindle is one. Dan Tominski, right? So my very first individual
okay.
competition out in New York, Tri-State Throwdown in Albany. Dan Tominski was there. And I was like, I think I'm like bigger than this guy, but heard he was pretty good, and he just waxed everybody
right.
the whole time. So, and then going to college in New York, like watch him go to games every year. Like he was definitely someone looked up to a lot. So I'd say definitely those two when it comes to like athletes. And then when it comes to like coaches, lucked out and made a bunch of great friends in Philly. Like Philly is not crazy close to West Point,
right?
But crazy turn events, ended up like working out there one weekend while I was up at West Point.
Awesome.
And they were super welcoming. A couple coaches, Mike and Macbeth, Perrin Bear, and they opened gym, their houses to me. And then that's like what allowed me to train in college. Like obviously wrestling was the number one priority, but whenever we had time off or during the summers, it'd always be in Philly, just training straight CrossFit and, you know, setting the stage for some success last year and hopefully successes to come. So
how has that been? I mean, obviously pulled out of competition earlier this year due to an incident. How has it been since that incident? Have you still been able to train as much as maybe you would like to? Have you given the regional events a go? How are things going in terms of training and how you're kind of taking everything? Because I'm sure, you know, after your success last year, taking a year off because of something that, you know, wasn't in your control is kind of tough.
It's been really up and down, if I'm being honest with you. A lot of anger, like frustration, especially I'd say like the 6 weeks out, like immediately after, just immensely like just feeling everything was unfair, kind of throwing a big pity party for myself, got fat, ate a lot of crappy food, like just
right.
didn't really do anything positive. And kind of snapped myself out of it. We had a training event called NTC, the National Training Center, and you go out to the desert for a month. And so I knew, even when I knew that I was, like, trying to compete this season, I knew, like, it wasn't going to be my peak for regionals. But when I was out there in the desert, because of the nature of being a platoon leader and, like, the nature of the work and everything, I was having to, like, make decisions every day. Like, if I want this, I'm going to have to go out, like, at midnight and go work out my kettlebells. Only piece of equipment I had. Couldn't go to the gyms. Or,
right.
Like, after security shift, I'm sacrificing sleep to do this. So I was like, if you want to do this, like, you're going to have to make some decisions now. And that kind of helped snap me out of it. Got to hang out with Max El-Haj and the training think tank guys and see them perform, like, getting ready for regionals as well. So I think those couple events, like, helped get my head on straight a little bit. Haven't really been testing the regional events. Like,
yeah.
We're kind of taking a more long-term approach to everything.
For
I
sure.
I don't know if I'll be able to compete next year.
Right.
But I do know, like, when I'm out, I'm still trying to make a run at the games and hopefully do well. So just trying to make sure whenever the opportunity does present itself, like, if I'm able to compete next year,
right,
that I'm prepared and able to, like, you know, spool myself up in time to get in shape to be a force at the regional and hopefully games level.
For sure. You talk about the kettlebell. I mean, that's a lot of times that's a lot of people have, especially, yeah, you know, when you're traveling a lot and that may be the only piece of equipment you can, you know, carry with you. Talk to us about kind of functional fitness type of things that you do that maybe if you're not at a gym, maybe if you're away from the gym or you're away from, you know, you're at a hotel gym or something, yeah, like that. Talk to us about some of the workouts that you enjoy doing that maybe not your typical, you know, get into a gym, barbell, all that stuff kind of workouts.
That's actually a great point. I've been, like, trying to figure out a way to, I guess, share that with folks too, because I think it's important.
Because, but, I mean, as we found out this year, barbells, yeah, may not even.
And that's funny too.
Right?
Yeah. Not like that this year. A lot. So basically, I had a 44-pound kettlebell that I took out in the field with me, and I was doing a ton of, like, one arm thrusters.
Yeah.
You know, nothing gets your heart rate up like thrusters.
Right.
You can always, always, always do burpees. So a lot of burpees, a lot of thrusters. When you're wearing, like, your uniform and stuff too, that helps because it's, like, it's weighted. So, right.
Everything's
a little harder there. You do pull-ups on the side of the tank. But basically, it's just, like, utilizing your environment. So right now, Rob and I are outside. You know, we have this building here. You can do handstand push-ups on the building.
Right.
Right. You can kind of measure out the side of the building. You can do handstand walks up and down it. You got,
right,
a decent approximation of the distance there.
Yeah. You got a trailer. You can do handstand walks or, yeah, handstand.
You can jump. You can jump on top of the trailer, on top of the back of the pickup,
yeah,
truck. So it's just like, I think one of the best sayings I ever heard was, like, losers make excuses and winners make it happen.
Yeah.
So, like, you can find ways to make it happen. Is it going to be, like, are you going to get the same data that you'll get from doing a workout that you've done before in a controlled situation? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like, there's limits to it, but even though it's limited, when you're faced with limiting factors, you can either say, all right, because it's limited, it's not going to be the best use of my time. Like,
right,
it's not optimal. So I'll just wait until it's optimal. Or you accept that that's, like, your reality and kind of go forward. And I think that's reflective of my life in general right now. Like, obviously, I'm not going to have the same grip strength or anything like,
right,
that before. But, like, I can be upset about it, and I was. But, like, it's not going to change. So, at this point now, it's a matter of, you know, doing the best I can with what I got.
We're talking to Chandler Smith here, regional athlete from 2016. Let's talk about that regional 2016. When you kind of got on the map, you started the weekend off with a picture with Dane, Alec, and Ben.
Yeah.
Crowning yourself the fourth Smith bro. Talk to us about kind of meeting Ben for the first time, meeting them for the first time, and then just that entire weekend where you just kind of, I mean, became everyone's favorite athlete.
I don't know about that, but I do. We were walking outside the Georgia World Congress Center, and I was, like, coming in the weekend with, like, really low expectation. My parents, yeah, were like, should we come out and watch you? I was like, absolutely not. I'm gonna get crushed. Like, stay home, save your money. Like,
right,
you can watch on the internet, but don't waste your time. And so we were standing outside, and I was waiting for my friends had gone out to, like, get the car. We were waiting for them to come back, and I was like, oh, shoot, those are Smiths. And they were like, yeah, you're competing against them. Like, stop freaking out. I was like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Right.
I'm gonna keep it cool. And I was like, you think they'll mind take a picture? And, like, you're competing against them. Like, don't be a nerd. They're walking out. They're honestly probably, like, 100 meters away at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. I was like, nah, forget it. And I, like, took off running after them. I was like, hey, this is really weird. Blah, blah, blah. I follow you guys on, you know, all social,
right,
media and everything. Do you mind taking a picture? And I think after, like, the initial weirdness, when they were like, who's this guy?
Right.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Right, yeah.
Whatever. So that was a fun start to it. Like, I think I would have been happy if the weekend ended there, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was, like, my biggest goal, was get a picture with Champ. And then, so the first day came out, I knew it was a good enough day for me because I like snatching, and then the longer workouts go, I, like, feel better. Even though Masters Games athlete Dave Jones kicked my butt today in Murph.
Right, yeah.
I like the longer workouts and stuff just from, you know, army training.
For sure.
Aerobic and everything. So I knew day one was going to be go well, but I didn't think I was going to go as well. And I ended up in fourth place in day one. And everybody's like, oh, like, it's kind of weird. It's fluky. He'll file the next day. And they were mostly right because event three was wall balls. I'm still horrible at wall balls.
Right.
I've been trying to beat it out of me, but it's not a strength. And fell down. But, you know, that went well. Then the deadlift event where I almost beat Ben, which is funny that that's like the claim to fame. It's like, oh,
right.
You're the guy who almost did something cool. Like,
I'll never forget. I think I reposted that, and it was like one of the most liked videos just from like that moment because it was just such a cool moment because you could see each other, like both of you guys looking at each other throughout the entire thing. And then, I mean, and you were with him literally right until the last couple reps. I think you guys were going rep for rep right off the GHDs.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, he's the champ, you know?
Right,
I mean?
Like, yeah.
When he comes time to shut things down and win, that's what winners do. So couldn't squeeze it out there. But then the end of that day in sixth place was only a couple points out of fifth. Had a catastrophic meltdown on day three with overhead squats, getting no repped and throwing the plan out the window, and got no repped in a bunch in event seven too. So just like lost composure. But I think like for a first time, you know what I mean? Like learning, because now I know what that feels like. I know what that pressure is like. I never had people looking at me like they did on day three. And like, but now I feel like if I have that opportunity again, I'll be that much more equipped to handle it because I've been there before, you know?
Right.
But when you haven't been, when you haven't had, you know, followers on Instagram, people coming up and taking pictures with you, all that stuff, I wasn't prepared to handle it as well as I should have. So,
now you talk to us about kind of social media. I mean, and you could really call it social media fame that a lot of CrossFitters have just in general. I mean, not just with you, but with so many athletes out there. You may never have seen these people compete ever, but you may see them because CrossFit either reposted something or whatever. Talk to us about the impact of really just like social media in general, you know, how that's affected, and has that changed at all the way that you train, the way that you post stuff, things like that?
Both of those are really interesting questions. So I'll address the first part. And like regards to how social media like affects being an athlete specifically, I think it affects it in a very positive way because so when you, like, at an event like Wodapalooza, you get there.
Right.
You've seen everybody before, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you're already at a place where you're kind of friends. People are helping each other go forward and, like, helping each other get better. But where I found this most helpful as, like, someone who travels a lot and in a job that's, like, really, really itinerant and stuff.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, like, there's someone I know or, like, some sort of connection I have with the CrossFit world. And CrossFit's my favorite thing to do. So, like,
That's
been great for me. It's, like, I can go a lot of places and meet somebody or have a recommendation for a gym and then, like, be able to do what I love. So that's awesome on that account. Garden like changes to how I train. I'd say unfortunately it did, like in the immediate aftermath. Again, like I said, last year I was all new, didn't really know how to handle all of it. But when it, because for some athletes it's like a venue to, you know, get paid, and like having money helps better food, better training, so on and so forth. Like when you start to see it like a job, then it does affect, like, you know, like, do I need to be posting more frequently?
Right.
What do people want to see? Because if I don't get a certain amount of likes here, then the companies won't see that I have like value on social media.
Right. Yeah.
So they won't want to pay me and such. So I'd say like immediately it did. I think I'm in a good place. Like I sometimes see the job as like a big barrier because it keeps me from training like I want to. Keeping all my fingers on my hand.
You almost
like
have to be like more creative on the social media side than you do in the actual training side.
A little bit. Yeah. But I'm lucky because I have a full-time
job. For sure.
I'm funded already. So like, I might feel pressure to want to post other things to get some more sponsors and everything.
Right.
I don't really need it as much.
Definitely.
So I consider that a blessing. I think it's a matter of perspective, like trying to see things that maybe aren't necessarily actually positives. You can kind of do some double think.
Right.
Think of it as a positive. So that's what I try to do with social media. It's not my focus. And because I'm free to like not focus on it, it makes it come a little bit easier.
Right. Now, a couple questions before we let you go. This is talking to Chandler Smith, regional athlete in 2016. Chandler, what do you have any hobbies, anything that you like doing when you're not at the gym training?
I'm not at the gym training. I'd say I like to read. I practice Spanish every day.
Okay.
Because I studied it at school and
want
to continue to be good at that. As far as like hobbies, though, unfortunately, like at this time in my life, I don't really have a lot of room for anything else. You're up at 0, 4:30, whatever. You
For
work
sure.
till whenever. But like by the time work and being at the gym, which is basically an extension of work.
Exactly.
By the time that's done, it's 8:30.
It's time to go to bed.
Yeah, and I got to get my stuff ready for the next day. So I like reading. I like studying Spanish, but that's – I don't really know if I like those things or what I have time for right now.
It's just kind of the way it goes.
Yeah. Especially boring individual.
Do you have a favorite workout, favorite benchmark workout?
Ooh, good question. Favorite benchmark. Say any burpees for time workout.
Ooh.
So, like, not a benchmark, but, like, you can always do one more burpee. And
right.
Even, like, and we did a lot of burpees in high school. Our high school wrestling coach.
Yeah.
I remember hating it, but, like, now I'm like, oh, that's
right.
Such a blessing in disguise. Just breaking ourselves off on burpees. And so, like, any 100 for time, 5 minutes for time. I'll start a lot of, like, before I go run, I'll do, you know, 4 minutes for time or something like that to get the heart rate up.
Right.
To make it a little bit harder. But those is, like, you can always, you're never going to be, like, so tired where you can't do another burpee. So it's a question
sure.
of like, are you going to force yourself to continue moving at the rate that you need to like, you know, set a PR for this
right.
benchmark? So, you know, 100 burpees for time, 10 minutes burpees for time, any of those, like that's my favorite. Cause I like going to that place kind of where you go, it takes you back to being in wrestling practice where you're dog tired and you know, like you can slow down, you can go easy, you can not push the pace and just be
right.
defensive. But like, if you keep on being offensive, that's where the gains are going to come from. So
for sure.
I like that feeling.
Last question, Chandler. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten?
Best piece of advice you've ever gotten? Probably, and I'd say it's a little bit of recency bias here, but something that continues to come out when I'm talking to folks about, you know, the situation with the finger and everything is like just everything is a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
And I said that earlier because it's something that like has really been driven home. Like I can complain a lot about a lot of things, but I can also be really happy for a lot of things
right.
too. And it's like when I take the time to focus on the complaining, that's when everything like seems hopeless. It's, you know, I'll never make the games. I'll never be good at this. Like, why am I wasting my time? But then if I approach the same situation with a different mindset and say like, because I'm so grateful to have a good job, I'm so grateful to be able to do PT every morning
yeah.
and get a little bit better, then all of a sudden the same exact situation is being seen as something that's getting me closer to where I want to be, which is, you know, being a games level athlete and being able to help people with using CrossFit as a platform. So I think it's just remembering that it's all a matter of perspective.
Awesome. Well, Chandler, thanks so much for chatting with us, taking some time.
No, Rob, too.
Happy Memorial Day, and thanks for everything. Thanks for your service.
Appreciate it.
And we'll catch you down the road.
Outstanding. All right.
Appreciate
hope we see you at regionals next
yes,
year.
Yes, sir. Big thanks to Chandler Smith for chatting with us for just a little bit. Guys, go check him out on Instagram. I believe it's Blacksmith. So go check him out on Instagram. Show him some love, and we hope to see him back in full form next year at regionals. Guys, the last weekend of regionals is coming up. The Atlantic, the West, and of course, that competitive Meridian region. Who's going to come out on top? Let us know your predictions. Just tweet at us at Big Red Express 01. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and all that jazz. Until next time, guys, have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you soon.